Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life,
good evening and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio presents There Is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host and blogger, Allie, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. Her co-host, Doc, helps her to go through the emotions and gives her solutions and advice on how to deal with the feelings of after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or Web Talk Radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your paper or your journal and a pen so that you can take notes as you join in our journey this evening. If you want to join in the conversation, please call in at 347-324-5246 and press the number one, so we can bring you on air. And now, join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our show host, Allie. Allie, take it away.
Hello and good evening and welcome to the next episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elise Psychological Services and who is also a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. And as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions, please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I am so pleased and happy to say that my blog has a whole new look, so I invite you to please visit and follow me on my new and approved blog site at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. Check it out, and please post a comment. As well, you can also find out more about Doc and her services through her website at www.elise, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And if you wish to contact us directly, you can always do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. So please continue to also follow us on Twitter, and you will find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45. On behalf of Doc, Mel D, and myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff Radio team, we thank you for listening and for joining us this evening as we share with you our insights regarding issues related to the experience of being laid off. Okay, we are ready to get started, but I first want to say a hello to our executive producer, Mel D. I'm super excited about our show tonight, and in just a minute, you and I will actually take a moment to talk about the great event that we were privileged to be a part of this past weekend, so thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me again.
Yes. Okay, Mel D, we're going to keep it moving, and tonight is going to be another great show because we have a very special guest joining us from Hands on Atlanta, Ms. Marsha Brown, who is the Associate Director of Education Programs. But before we get started, I always want to remind our listeners that this is a forum that we use to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. And we're not here complaining, we're not ridiculing or pointing fingers at former employers or colleagues or any individuals. And we're definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves, but we're here so that you can share, we can share our journeys with you of rediscovery and empowerment, but most of all, we're here so that we can serve you, the community, as we give you a voice by offering you an opportunity to share your story. And as Mel D referenced earlier, if you want to call in and share with us, you can reach us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 and you'll be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. And one last announcement, as always, if you happen to miss a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the ALR website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. We're also on iTunes, and you can find us by searching Atlanta Life Radio under podcast, and there you will find us. So we continue to thank you for catching up on what you may have missed and for continuing to tune in. Now, we're ready to get started, but Mel D, as we get ready to welcome our guests, can you briefly share with our listeners about the event that we attended this past weekend? Because it really does relate to our topic for tonight.
Oh, definitely, Allie. And, you know, as we constantly, I mean, for all of the shows that we've done, we constantly have been trying to inspire and reach out to our listeners, because everybody needs inspiration and motivation. And when you have a life event and you start questioning your life purpose, you sort of now wonder, okay, what's next? How do I move in another direction? Mm-hmm. And so as part of our journey, and I'm learning social media, and I started on Twitter.
Right.
I started following these two young authors because they had this phenomenal message of finding your life purpose. And as I read more about the authors, one of them spoke specifically about how his life event was being laid off.
Right.
And being laid off, and basically how he started to question his life purpose. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, his best friend was also going through a life event. His friend lost his mother and his wife to divorce in the same month.
Right.
So here you have two best friends who grew up together who were going through, and it wasn't a midlife crisis because they were in their early 30s, very successful men in the corporate world who now were questioning their life purpose. So to make a long story short, we found out that they were going to be in the Atlanta area promoting their latest book. And their names are Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus.
Right.
And we went to the book signing, and if I just can say on a personal note, it was one of the most inspiring opportunities, and to be in a bookstore, a very small bookstore that was packed. We were in seats, but there were people on the floor, there were people standing up, that there's this big movement, and the movement is called minimalism.
Right.
And I know a lot of people don't know what that is, so very quickly, I want to share how they define minimalism, and I totally, personally and professionally relate to this definition.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, minimalism is a lifestyle that helps people question what things add value to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
By clearing the clutter from life's path, we can make room for the most important aspects of our life, health, relationships, passion, growth, and contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So although everyone who embraces minimalism differently, each path leads to the same place, a life with more time, more money, and more freedom to live a more meaningful life. And that is totally what we're about. And so I'm just so happy and proud that we're joining forces with the two authors, and we're going to be coordinating their meetup. We're going to be the community organizers for a meetup group so that like-minded people who live here in the Atlanta area can get together and kind of speak about and talk about this topic of how to live a minimal life but a fulfilled life.
Absolutely.
So what did it do for you? Because it was just a phenomenal experience for me.
Oh, my goodness. And then I was sitting right next to you, and every time he said something that resonated with me, I think I kind of nudged you or looked at you.
Because
I was connecting with so much of what they were talking about, and I feel like I was forced to be minimalized. I was minimalized out of my job, and so that was my way of, you know, really looking at my life, taking another perspective, because I remember leading up to that, I felt unfulfilled in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading their story, that was similar circumstances. They were really kind of stagnant and bored and just unfulfilled in what they were doing. And that is exactly how I felt before I got laid off. So I resonated with that story. And then more than that, when I got home, I really took a good look around my house at all the stuff that I had accumulated.
Material.
And that really didn't add any meaning to my life or bring anything special into my life, just stuff.
Wow.
So, you know, with that, you know, my thought process was, you know, that very next day, I even share with my husband, there's a lot of purging and donating that's getting ready to happen in this house.
Because,
you know, there are people that can be blessed by the things that I have.
That's right.
You know,
and
it's just sitting there and it's not doing anything for us, you know, but it can be blessing someone else. So needless to say, you know, that's where I'm headed with that. So I'm very happy that we're joining forces with them, because I think once we shared our story with them, they were very, very upbeat about what we were doing and really appreciated what we were doing. So I'm very excited about that. So, and as we keep it moving tonight,
Allie,
you know.
Allie, I just want to mention, for our listeners, if you want to, we did upload some photographs to the Atlanta Life Radio website. If you go to the ALR website and go to the Buzz, the page for the Buzz, we have our photos, and then we also have a video uploaded about minimalism. So please check it out.
Yes, absolutely. So as we keep it moving, our guest for tonight, whom I met while I was volunteering on MLK Day of Service, has a similar story that I connected to, you know, when I was there. We just kind of struck up a conversation, and we talked for a length of time, and you know, we just kind of connected. And her story is that, you know, she had to make a hard decision in order to be fulfilled and do what she felt like she was called to do. But I'm not going to give away any of her story, so I want her to share it with us. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, Ms. Marsha Brown. So thank you for joining us tonight, Ms. Brown.
Thank you. It is truly the pleasure is all mine. I'm still like, I can't believe it, that I love the way that we met and that you thought that what I had to say to you was valuable. So thank you for the opportunity.
You're so welcome. I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm excited that you'll be able to share your journey with our listeners. But first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is Marsha Brown?
I don't know. As the older I get, I kind of wake up every morning asking myself that question. And, you know, I think that if I had to define myself, that I would say that I'm growing. I'm a person that's growing, and I'm still curious about the world.
Wow.
I'm very curious about the world around me. And so this whole aging process, it takes a minute for your mind and your body to catch up. It's like your body is already doing whatever it's doing. And, you know, your life has to kind of come on like, oh, my God, I'm a senior citizen. So, yeah. I just realized the two caught up to each other this past birthday. So, but, you know, I'm from California, from San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
I've been in Atlanta now about 13 years. I love it here. I think this is the place that God would have me to be right now.
Absolutely wonderful. And I think that's even how you and I connected at the event, because you were talking about being a senior citizen. I said, stop saying that.
You'll get there.
Right. Some days I feel like I'm there, but anyway. But, you know, as you mentioned, when we met, you kind of shared with me your testimony about your desire to work in the nonprofit sector. And after hearing it, I knew that it was a story that our listeners needed to hear. So can you take a moment to share a little bit about that testimony that you shared with me on that day?
Sure. I think that I'm already told you I'm a senior citizen, so I'm a baby boomer as well. And so being raised as a baby boomer, you're raised by traditionalists. And the thing about being raised by traditionalists, they had survived the Great Depression and World War II.
Mm.
So I grew up in a house that it only ever talked about, it only ever went to school to make money.
Right.
Go to college, education, so you can make money.
Mm.
And so that's all. And you never took another job unless it paid more money. And
wow.
So I was working in sales at the time when the lights started to come on. It didn't come on all at once. It came on in like little flickers.
Right,
and
right.
So my job was working in staffing, so I would secure contracts, and then I would find the people to fill the contracts. And so when they went to work, I made money. So
right.
this girl came in. She was young, and she had a chemistry degree. And I found her, the client. She was just like literally looking for a needle in a haystack, but I found her. And so I was so excited. I called my client. I was not the perfect person. It seemed like such a great fit. And then she came in a couple of weeks later, and she said, "Miss Brown, I'm not going to be able to work here anymore." And I thought, "Oh my God!" I said, "Sweetie, did something happen to you? Did they do something to you?" She goes, "Oh no, I'm just not happy."
Wow.
I just fell off the chair.
Oh
my God! What happy got to do with it? They're making a ton of money. You went to school, you got your chemistry degree. Don't you want to make money? And
wow.
So I remember on the way home, and I remember I was angry at her. And then as I drove, I kept realizing, then the light started to come on, and I'm like, "No, you're angry at yourself. Because
wow.
you never thought about being happy at work. All
oh,
you
my
ever
goodness.
Thought about is money." So
that's
during
powerful.
This whole time, that was when the light flickered on, and I started to look at different jobs out there in the nonprofit sector, and I interviewed for several, and I actually was offered two of the jobs, and I remember I didn't take either one. And I remember the second time it happened, I cried on the way home because I thought, "Lord, how can it be that the thing that I want to do most in the world and the only reason I can't do it is money?"
Is money.
So,
wow.
yeah, it was money. So I called my sister, and she was like, "Well, you could do it if you downsized your life."
Mm.
And I was like, "What would that look like?" So when you said this minimalism, I guess it was that time for me.
Right.
When I realized that I didn't have to get my hair done every week.
Mm.
And, you know, so I began to make changes in my life so that I could do the work that I believed that God was made for me to do, and that was
mm-hmm.
service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
so that's how I began. I started reading in the paper that the children weren't passing their test scores, and I thought, "Well, you know, you need to do a little more than shake your head every day about it." And so I joined AmeriCorps program, and the stipend was like $325 a week.
Mm.
And my family already thought it was crazy because I left California to move to Georgia.
Mm.
And so when I told them I had quit my really good paying job to do AmeriCorps, they were like, "That's it, we're coming to get you." You know, "We're on our way, you just sit still, don't move. We're coming to get you."
They thought you had lost it, huh?
Totally lost my mind.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
So I did a year of service to others, and then I was offered a position at Hands On Atlanta, and I've been there now a little over 10 years doing
wow.
something I just absolutely love.
Wow, that is so powerful. What you hit on so many key points in that, and I think the most powerful statement that you made in all that you were saying was that you never thought about being happy while you were working. That, to me, is so powerful and is so par for the course for a lot of us who are working in, you know, whatever job or career we're in. We just look at the bottom line and don't think about being fulfilled in it. And I know that when I got laid off, you know, we had to make some really hard decisions and downsize in some areas. And one of those decisions was that, you know, my daughter had been in private school all her life since the age of 3. Well, we were finally at a point where, you know, do we put her in public school because the tuition was just, you know, outside of what we could really afford on one income. But, you know, we knew and we were confident that God had, you know, given her enough of a foundation in the Word of God at that private school, at Christian school, that she would be okay. And I'm happy to say that she is doing so well. She is thriving and just nothing, you know, but when you put it in God's hands, you don't have anything to worry about. You know, we shouldn't worry if we're going to put it in his hands anyway. But, so, you know, I kind of shared with you a little bit about my story and There Is Life After Layoff. It's about, you know, a journey of rediscovery and about walking in your true calling or your purpose. Now, do you feel as though working with Hands On Atlanta, I know you say you love it, are you walking in your true calling or purpose? And if you feel that you are, why?
I'm absolutely walking in my purpose and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, because everything I touch, it seems to work. And I know that I don't have that kind of power.
Right.
I don't have the power to make all the great people in my life just like I met you that day. I'm sure we're going to have a long relationship with a lot of different things. But all the programs that when I set up and I try to design programs for children, all I literally do is show up. And then God just puts people right where they need to be.
Right.
And I actually have a vision about it. I can see it. And it's so clear to me, and I can always tell when I'm on the right track because the pieces just fall right into place, and I don't have the power to do that.
Right, right.
And that's
you know it's a higher power.
Yes, and I know he sees. It's like this is a good program.
Yes.
And then I guess I'm just kind of always marvel at the fact that it's like, Lord, really, you would trust me? You would put children's lives in my hands?
Wow.
And so I'm just always humbled by it, too.
Yes.
And so because the programs are working, children are happy, and that's how I know that I'm in my purpose.
Wow.
They're not difficult to put them together. They're a lot of work.
Right.
They're a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but there's never an obstacle that's so big that it stops it from happening.
Right. And, you know, that's funny that you mentioned that because I feel that, you know, when God brings you to it, he'll get you through it. And, you know, he has opened up so many doors and so many opportunities with what I'm doing and with, you know, Atlanta Life Radio and There Is Life After Layoff Radio. Things have just fallen into place. And so, you know, it's just, you know that God's got his hands all over that because he's going to give you, if he gave you the vision, which is what I got when I started There Is Life After Layoff, the blog, I knew that if he gave me what he asked, you know, I did what he asked me to do, he was going to give me the tools to see it through to completion, you know.
Right.
Now, what part of your job with Hands On Atlanta are you most passionate about?
Well, my job is kind of like in two segments. I don't know if you're familiar with AmeriCorps, but it's like the domestic version of the Peace Corps.
Okay.
And the only difference is where the Peace Corps, you go off to foreign countries and serve. AmeriCorps programs serve in the United States. It's a national program. And we are a school-based program, so our charge is to tutor children that are not performing on grade level in math and literacy.
Okay.
And so those that go back to those test scores that I told you I kept reading in the paper, and I knew I needed to do something besides shake my head. So,
right.
So it's like, yes, I'm doing something now.
Yes.
And I have an amazing team every year. This year I have 27 amazing young people to help me do this work, and they are recent college grads or some just got out of law school, some are on their way to law school. They're a very, very talented group of people, and they're young and they're fresh and their ideas are new, and I'm just so honored to be in their presence because I tell them all the time, it's not that I think that I'm smarter than they are. They should be smarter than me. They just got out of college.
So right.
It's just that I can see farther.
Oh, wow. Ooh, that's
so,
good right there.
Yeah,
that's
the difference. Not that I'm smarter, but I can see farther. And so when you have amazingly talented people and you have this vision and you put the right people in the right to help you carry it through, and so that's one part of the work that we do. And then we have a Saturday Discovery program where it's an enrichment program and a tutoring program for children. And we have it at 9 different schools and serve about 600 children.
Wow.
And we get to do amazing work with children that just wouldn't otherwise have certain opportunities on Saturdays, you know.
Wow.
We recently started our backpack program where we are feeding about 90 children, taking their backpacks on Friday. They take them home with food because we realized early on that children were really hungry when they would come and they would do this thing where they would put the food in their pockets or they'd say, can I have some for my sister? And so it wasn't like they were being greedy. They were hungry.
Mm.
And so we have a corporate group that is sponsoring 90 children now. It's been a dream of mine for 2 years. So to see the corporate group pack the backpacks, see the children receive their backpacks,
right,
was an amazing experience. So it really is, for me, the thing I'm most passionate about is making other people's lives better, and just amazed that I get to come in contact with so many people. So I feel like I'll leave my DNA all over this place.
Wow. And you're absolutely right that there are a lot of children who are hungry. We kind of worked with the Summer Food Program, the campaign, and we with Must Ministries, and my daughter's Girl Scout troop also volunteered to make lunch, sack lunches during the summer, because they realized that when school was out, kids didn't have any lunches or any meals, because they were, taking advantage of or had the opportunity to get maybe reduced lunch or reduced breakfasts, during the school year. But then when school's out, what do they do? So that's a huge problem, and a large population of children are going hungry. So, but you know what? At this point, I think what we're going to do, we're going to take a short station break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation, and if we have any callers, we'll take your calls. So if you want to call in and speak with our special guest tonight, Ms. Marsha Brown from Hands On Atlanta, you can reach us by calling 347-324-5246. Press the number 1 to be added to the on-air host queue. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you
just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There Is Life After Layoff. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners who tune in each and every week, and also our sponsors, because without your support, this show would not be made possible. We have a huge announcement tonight. I am proud to announce that Atlanta Life Radio and There Is Life After Layoff, along with other hosts, will be hosting our first conference. Yes, our first conference. The name of the conference is Seek Me, Awakening the Purpose Within You. So as you're listening this evening to Finding Your Life Purpose, we're going to dedicate a whole conference, a one-day conference, to that topic. So if you are in the midst of trying to find your life purpose, you do not want to miss this event. It is being held here in Atlanta, Georgia. To receive further details and information, please go to the Atlanta Life Radio website and click on the page Events, and all of the information is there for you. Registration is open, but seats are limited and going fast. So please register today. Thank you. And now we return to our program. Allie?
All right. Thanks, Mel D. We are back, and if you're just joining us, welcome, and you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and along with my co-host for tonight, Mel D., we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. You can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com, and I'm also on Twitter at Allie Ward 45, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found tweeting at ALR Radio. So please continue to follow us. Now, we're going to continue our conversation tonight with our very special guest, Ms. Marsha Brown from Hands On Atlanta, and we're going to kind of pick up the conversation where we left off, Ms. Brown. In your role at Hands On Atlanta, have you come across many volunteers who have been affected by a layoff? Because, just because the show is There Is Life After Layoff, have you found that?
Absolutely. And it's really been a big benefit for us and other nonprofit agencies, because so many talented people, there's probably been no other time where so much talent was out there in terms of layoff. And what it's meant to not only Hands On Atlanta, but to the nonprofit sector is that we were great volunteers, great what we call skilled volunteers. You know, everything from marketing to accounting, and because nonprofits already always have really small budgets,
right,
and never have enough money, so the talent that's out there that has come to volunteer and give up the time and do everything from design business plans for other nonprofits, it's been amazing.
Right.
So I know, you know, we do a lot of that brick and mortar type of thing when we do projects and volunteer projects, but this is a different type of volunteering, you know, because they're actually going into businesses and helping fill gaps.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we kind of talked about this on a previous show where I found some information about volunteering and how volunteering can help you hone in on the, you know, sharpen the skills that you have or even learn new skills. You can create your own internship. You know, if you're stagnant in your career, you may volunteer with an organization that you may, you know, be looking at to build a career with. So, you know, volunteering helps you network. And, you know, you meet all kinds of people when you volunteer. So, you know, we talked about how important that is, you know, and to do it often and not just on, you know, one or two days, you know. But do you, in saying that, do you feel that it's important for people to volunteer when they are faced with these types of life-altering events or challenges, like, for example, the layoff or, if you know, someone has experienced a, you know, loss in a relationship or a death of a loved one? Do you feel that that's important and why?
I think it's absolutely important because there is no greater feeling in the whole wide world than to help somebody else. Because there's a quote that says, service to others is first service to oneself. And I believe that, you know.
Right.
And sometimes, I know I used to have a boss that used to tell me, and I'd sit at my desk and I was like, you know what, this work is so hard, I feel like I can't get my perspective. And she'd tell me, go down there to the homeless shelter and see if you can get your perspective. You know, see if that'll do it for you, you know.
Oh,
and so
God.
I did. I went to volunteer at the homeless shelter, and I did the intake. And I was still working, but I just needed some perspective, and she thought that would be a good idea for me, and that's where I went. And I met lots of different people in that shelter. Some had used to work for IBM, and, you know. So I set up this program where they could help them do their resumes. And since I had been in sales, I'll just cut to the chase. I got 13 people jobs at the Sheraton Hotel.
Wow.
And it was an amazing experience for me because when they met me that morning at the HR department, and it was so good because it was like they were going to be able to, they could eat every day for $1 a day, taking out their checks. They'd get a new uniform every day, so didn't have to worry about clothes. They got a MARTA car, so didn't have to worry about transportation.
Oh, my
goodness.
When
they met me that morning at the Sheraton Hotel, and they were all dressed, and everybody, and, you know, they just hugged me, and they were just, oh, thank you, Ms. Marcia, and blah, blah, blah. But I realized at that moment that I wasn't the one that was great in that picture. They were great. Because if I had been that down and it had been so long before something good had happened to me, I don't know if I would have had the confidence nor the courage to get dressed, go to the Sheraton Hotel, and believe that somebody was going to give me a job. I don't know if I could have done that. And I was beginning to realize that, you know, you look at things and they're rarely what they appear to be.
Right,
you may look at a homeless person, they may possess strengths that you and I don't even have.
Right.
And so I was so humbled by the experience. They thought I was the great one because I got them a job. No, I didn't step out of my comfort zone. I just did what I had already been doing. It wasn't a leap for me, but it was a huge leap for them.
Wow.
So I think you absolutely should volunteer and help someone else. We've got a great Saturday program called Discovery. We're at 10 different schools. We have children that absolutely need to learn. And any number of volunteers. Find the thing that you love to do.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And volunteer there, because if we're not here to help each other, I don't really know why we're here.
Exactly. But, you know, just like everybody hears this all the time, there before the grace of God go I. And everybody has a story, you know, and we, you know, Atlanta does have a large homeless population, But you don't know those people's story. You don't know how they got there. So we don't, we have, you know, no right to judge. We don't know what they, how they got into those positions and those circumstances, you know. And, you know, so people, it, I'm glad you shared it the way you did, because if someone has lost perspective, go to the homeless shelter. Go somewhere and volunteer and help someone. And like you said, you know, one of the biggest things that, that God tells us to do and asks us to do is to serve others. And there's no greater service than that, you know. So thank you for sharing it in that way. I that that was a good spin on getting your perspective back.
Yeah, yeah. It'll do it. It'll definitely do it for you. Get down there, you know. And then I saw one of the guys, about one girl that went to work there, she was the first female bell person the Sheraton had ever had. And she was making money because the women were like, you got to carry the bag, so they would tip her well. And then the men were like, what woman is carrying the bag, so they would tip her well. Making a lot of money. And I saw one of the guys about maybe 6 months later, I was at the Y, and he said, Miss Brown, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, oh, sweetie, I remember your face. I said, who are you? And he said, you know, he said, you got me a job at the Sheraton. He said, and I don't live in the shelter anymore.
Oh.
And so that was so powerful, you know. It's like, that is so cool. So when you have those low moments in your own life, when you're able to help somebody else get up, somehow it helps you get up too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a lot of why I always say at the beginning of the program, you know, I remind our listeners, yes, you may have been laid off. You may be going through a life-altering situation, but don't feel sorry for yourself. You know, we have to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off. And I can say that because I'm going to tell you, I was laid off once before this last time, and I did everything wrong. I did the wallowing in self-pity and the blame game and the anger thing and getting stuck. And so I know from experience that doesn't work. You know, it's about just keeping it moving and not getting stuck, you know. So my blog, There Is Life After Layoff, it was, like I said, created based on a vision that I believe that God blessed me with. Because I got it 2 days after I was laid off. And in the moment that I was being laid off, I literally heard God speak to me. He said, peace be still. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. And so in essence, what I decided to do when life threw lemons at me, I made some lemonade and had a cool drink, okay? So can you share with our listeners a time in your life when life may have threw some lemons at you and you decided to make some lemonade?
Wow. You know, you can't get to be a senior citizen and not have had lots of lemons. it just doesn't work that way. But, you know, I think that, you know, you mentioned when we were talking before about a guy who lost his mom and his divorce in the same month.
Yes.
And my aunt and uncle raised me. It wasn't uncommon during that time. My dad's favorite sister, and I lived with them, my aunt and uncle, since I was 18 months old. And I always went home in the summer to visit my sisters, and I always counted myself so lucky to have two moms and two dads.
Oh, wow.
And I went that way all my life until they started to die. So my biological parents died 30 days apart.
Oh, wow.
And then my aunt and uncle that raised me, within 2 years, they were all dead.
Oh, my goodness.
And shortly after that, I lost my mate. So I had all this death as, you know, five key players in my life in a very short window of time. And so I went in that valley, and I think I stayed in that valley for about 5 years.
Really?
And it wasn't the thing, the length of the time is not the thing about the valley that I remember the most. It's the coming out of the valley that I remember the most about. Because when I came out that valley, I knew the value in pain. I knew that suffering had a place in my life and that I could never really know tremendous joy unless I had known tremendous pain. And so now when those painful moments come and life sends me those lemons, it's like I know that there's value in that.
Yes.
You know, and so the lemons aren't as sour as they used to be, and they're not as scary as they used to be, because I know whatever it is that I'm going through, first of all, I know God is going to bring me through it, and I know that there's going to be some value when I come out of that valley. But
right.
I still go to the valley, but the time is very short now.
Wow.
You know, I don't, you know, I don't spend a lot of time in the valley because it doesn't take long for me to understand why I'm there and what it is that God wants me to learn from it. So I can move quickly out of my valleys now. So I guess if I could tell people anything, I want you to encourage you. I know we all have to go to the valley, but just don't stay any longer than you have to.
Right. But, you know, I find that I have learned my greatest lessons in time of turmoil and trial. But I understand and know now that when I, in the midst of what I'm doing now, that all of that that I went through up to this point was necessary so that I can be who I am and share my story and be able to face my own truths and be transparent. All of that was a life lesson. You know, we have to understand and know that God is not going to take us from point A to point B. Sometimes he'll take us to point Z, back to M, to L, and T, you know, but because there are lessons. And just like when he brought, you know, the Israelites, in, they took 40 years to get to take an 11, what should have taken 11 days because they had to learn from it. You know,
well,
so,
ladies,
yeah.
If I can just interject, because I think, you know, as we were talking about, you know, finding your purpose and, you know, Allie and Marcia, as you talk about the lemons and the lemonades, you know, for some people, they've always had a yearning to be a filmmaker or an actor or an actress. And we have forged a partnership with the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival.
Okay.
And, she just hung up. Okay, we had the CEO from the Kingdomwood Institute on, but she just hung up. So I apologize if she calls back in. I'll bring her on air because she did want to make an announcement and an invitation to our listeners. But with that being said, y'all can just go back to where you left off, Allie. Okay?
Okay, all right.
All right.
You know, but... So people, we have to realize that, you know, life is not going to be all one big piece of cake all the time, because then I don't believe that we can grow if everything is picture perfect. Do you agree with that?
Well, you'll never know how strong you are.
Right.
You'll never know if you're strong at all. You might think you're really strong and find out that something might hit you and knock your socks off and, you know, they might learn humility through that experience. But if you don't ever have any trials, then you're never going to know how strong you are.
Right.
And you're going to have to be strong to finish this thing. Because what I realized about this aging process, and I don't want to keep on harping on it, but I told you I just had a birthday. And so I'm in this place, right? And so you push your way in as a baby. But what I didn't know is that even through this aging process, you got to push your way out of this thing called life. And matter of fact, you got to keep pushing your whole life. Because there's always going to be something in the way.
Yes.
And so whatever it is, you have to push past it so that you can push past the next thing. And so when my team of 27 that I'm privileged to serve with every year, the one thing that I always tell them is push. Yes, this work is hard. Yes, we are all tired. And I get that. Now I'm asking you to push beyond what you normally give. Because I believe that service requires some type of sacrifice. You know, we sometimes do a six-day week. And they're young, so I know they'd rather be at home in the bed than run, you know, and start in the morning. And when they give me that list, I just tell them one word, push.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, I know you share with us a few of your programs. I know you talked about the Discovery Program and you talked about AmeriCorps. And are there any of your other programs or any new programs that you could share with our listeners?
I think, you know, the Civic Leadership Program, also known as CLP, is not my program, but it is within the Hands on Atlanta office. And I think it's a great place that people might want to consider if they've got some time, because what it is, it does teach you about civic leadership. It gives you an opportunity to spend a year with a nonprofit company. You have to learn to manage volunteers. You have to raise, I think, $1,500. It's a one-year program. And then when you finish, I hope I'm giving the details right, you get something like a $5,000 grant towards something, whether it is to start your own business or some type of nonprofit work that you want to do. You
okay.
receive what's called a mini grant. And so for those
okay.
people that are listening that have the time, that's something that you might consider. If you go onto our website, you will find everything on there, from volunteering with animal shelters to, you name it, homeless,
wow.
you know, every social need that you can speak of or think of is on our website to volunteer.
Right.
And so I think sometimes, what would we do if we woke up one morning and all the volunteers stayed home? This world would
goodness.
Look so different.
Yes.
It would look so different, because sometimes people you're talking to, you don't even know that they're volunteering.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you don't know that they're not being paid to do this thing. But
right.
because they're so kind and they're so passionate and so good at it, you figure they've got to be getting paid. No. What they
right.
have is just a desire to, you know,
to
somehow
serve.
Help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to serve.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, in you saying that, have you ever seen the program Secret Millionaire?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It came on maybe last year, the year before that. It was on for a couple of seasons. Well, these millionaires will go undercover, so to speak, into these communities, and none of the people who they work with, they would volunteer, you know, at different shelters, programs, churches, whatever the case was, whatever the scenario was, but none of the people knew that they were millionaires. And
wow.
they came out of it, and then at the end of the program, then they would reveal that they were these millionaires, and they were so humbled by the experience, they didn't realize. And I think Mel D even shared a story about how one CEO of a millionaire, I should say, you know, was so humbled by the experience, because they didn't really realize that people were doing, you know, what they were doing. You know, they were helping others and serving others. And, you know, I wish they'd bring the program back, because it was just so phenomenal. You know, there's nothing greater than serving other people. And I feel like that's what we're doing here, you know, in a kind of using technology in a great way. You know, that we have so much social media nowadays that's not used for great things, and I think we're taking advantage of the social media part of this, but doing it in a good way to help serve other people. So I'm thankful for, you know, that opportunity. Can you share with us, I think you mentioned at one point in time about the Parent University. Are you still working on that? Is that
yes,
another program?
We're working on Parent University. Is another program that we're still working on. And we plan to pilot for the 2014-15 school year. And what it is, it will run as a counterpart to the Discovery program, so that when parents drop off their children, they will stay. Because one thing about living in a house with a 7 and a 10-year-old, second and fourth grader, is that when it's time to do math homework, I'm on Google the whole time. It's like,
me too.
Okay, what does that mean?
Right.
And so, you know, if I sit there and work with it long enough, I can figure it out. But there's
right.
a thing about math, the language has changed.
Yes.
And so Parent University will address that by, if you are a second grade, if you have a second grade student, then you will learn second grade math. You'll learn the language, you'll learn how to do it, and you will be able to better assist your child with their homework. And then you will volunteer in the Discovery program. You'll become a certified Parent University tutor, and you will tutor other children within that school, so that this piece is sustainable, because
okay.
it will become from the parents. The parents will not be the entire volunteer base, but there'll be a great deal of it. So
okay.
that will be their learning piece, if you will. And they too, just like Discovery, will have an enrichment portion of their program, where they might
okay.
learn about, you know, budgeting, or they might learn about cooking healthy on a budget, or any number of things. They call it consumer science, but it's really
right.
like home ec. Yeah.
Right.
So
my daughter's taking that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are the other things. And so they will have 1 hour of each, and whereas Discovery has an hour of tutoring and an hour of enrichment. And so I'm looking really forward to it, because I know that parents will feel a lot better when they sit down with their children if they know how to do homework.
Right.
You know? It's
right.
a challenge.
It is so, a challenge.
Yeah,
it
I'm real excited about piloting that program.
Great.
So those will be the two new programs. So next year will be the Backpack, which has already started, and the Parent University.
Great. How can our listeners get involved with Hands on Atlanta to volunteer, donate, et cetera? Can you give us that information?
Yes, our website is handsonatlanta, all one word, .org.
Okay.
And if you go in there, it will take you to volunteer opportunities. And please, 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 again, sign up to volunteer for the Discovery Program. So you can tell by now it's one of my favorites.
Yes.
And, you know, and I, what we're trying to do is to really find people that have the time to volunteer because
mm-hmm.
we already know the children learn better when they see the same faces. So
right.
we're trying to get more of a recurring volunteer base than that one episodic time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know, we're almost out of time, but I want to take a moment to thank you. It has just been so inspiring just hearing your story and your perspective. I've enjoyed our conversation, and you are always welcome back. Let
yes,
us know,
you
know, keep us up, you know, on what's going on with Hands on Atlanta, and you're going to be our volunteer connection.
Oh, absolutely. If you guys have groups that want to volunteer, if you have a team of people that want to volunteer, please get in touch. If it doesn't exist, we can create it.
Oh, thank you so much again, Ms. Marsha Brown. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And like I said, you're welcome back anytime.
All right. Well, again, thank you for the opportunity, and you have a good evening.
All right. Thank you so much. So as we get ready
bye-bye.
To bye-bye. So as we get ready to close out another thought-provoking episode, I'm going to take a moment to share scripture for tonight because we always want to relate our journey back to the Word. And so tonight we actually started out talking about the minimalist, and then Ms. Marsha Brown from Hands on Atlanta shared her story about how she downsized her life. So in keeping with that, I was then led to this scripture in the book of Matthew, and it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 that actually relates to laying up treasures in heaven, and it reads, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay, so what does it mean to treasure to yourselves? It means that you think highly of, to focus on, to believe that this thing, whatever it is crucial to your livelihood and happiness. You can know what you treasure by considering what you think about, what you hope for, what you dream of, and spend time working towards owning or keeping. It is something you must have, or if you have it, you believe that you must keep it, then you treasure it. So as we relate that to the theory of minimalism, look at all the stuff in your life, and I challenge you, let that be your growth work. Look at all the stuff in your life, and does it decide whether or not it adds value? If it doesn't, can you part with it? Can you bless somebody with it? Just take a survey of all the things around your home and in your life, and that includes relationships, friendships, and even thoughts that you may have. If it doesn't do anything for you or does it serve a purpose in your life or bring fulfillment or add any value to your life, then you might need to get rid of it, okay? So we're almost out of time, and I think Mel D for joining me tonight, and I especially thank our guest, Ms. Marsha Brown from Hands on Atlanta. We thank you for joining us, each and every one of you for joining us on this journey, because, you know, we don't take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us each and every week. I pray that you will continue to tune in, and guess what? Next week is the return of our men's series with our very own brother Pastor Dwayne Johnson Sr. from Lifestyle Christian Church. We will pick up where we left off in 2013, so please tell all the men in your lives to plan to tune in and join us. You don't want to miss it. And we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord, I have my faith. When your breakthrough will begin, known has come from you alone.